Heavenly Father, we humbly ask you for the gifts of wisdom and courage that we may make decisions that are right and just for all citizens of Reading who have entrusted us with the future of this community. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Powell?
Here.
Mr. Bronner?
Here.
Mr. Bishop?
Here.
Mr. Boehner?
Here.
Mrs. Kroger?
Here.
Mr. Tommen?
Here.
Mrs. Edichico?
Here.
All present. Moving on to approval of minutes from February 20th, 2024. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Powell, second by Mr. Bronner to approve minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Audience asking participation. Do we have anybody? Would you like to step up to the mic? You have 5 minutes to speak, and when you finish, please return to your seat. Please state your name.
Hello, my name is Lee Kaler, and I am here tonight on behalf of the group called Rooted in Community, Reading Citizens for Trees. We wanted to share with you the good news that was announced just this past week with regard to the grant proposal we wrote along with Patrick Ross and Seth Redwine back in December. The City of Reading has been awarded a $50,000 grant from the Ohio Division of Forestry in partnership with the U.S. Forest Service's Inflation Reduction Act funding. The plan is to use this money to replace the aging and no longer favored pear trees that line the Reading Road streetscape corridor. We will work with Hamilton County's urban forester, Wendy Van Buren, to choose new tree varieties that ensure the best results for our city. We are very excited about this project and hope that it will lead to more efforts in our quest to increase the tree canopy in the city of Reading. While I am here, I would like to mention two other projects on which we are working. Through the Mill Creek Alliance, our group has adopted the Reading Floodplain Bench, which is just north of the Hafey Ball Fields. This project was completed in 2020. Our role will be to remove any invasive species that show up among all the native species that were planted there. We will also be picking up litter, much like the We Thrive volunteers do along our streets. Another project coming up is at Cherryfield Park on March 24th from 10 to 3. The goal here is to remove invasive honeysuckle for later replacement with native species. This is being done in cooperation with the Reading Parks Department, the Mill Creek Alliance, and volunteers from Reading High School. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Do we have anybody else wishing to speak? All right, moving on to reading of communications.
I just have two. I have the December 2023 Mayor's Court Monthly Disbursement Report. There were 83 bench warrants issued, 302 cases heard, and a total of $13,482 collected. The January 2024 Mayor's Court Monthly Disbursement Report, there were 132 bench warrants issued, 413 cases heard, and a total of $17,332 collected.
All right, thank you. Guest speakers, none scheduled. Executive session, none scheduled. On to administrative official reports. Mayor's report, Mr. Bemis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. You know, first tonight we ask everybody, please avoid leaving valuable items in your cars. Take valuable items in with you, or if you have a trunk to your car, please leave them there. Unfortunately here in our city and throughout our nation, you know, things disappear when people get opportunities. We also ask people to please get to know your neighbors. Look out for them. And please call 911 immediately when you see any suspicious or illegal activity. Again, you know, we have emboldened people in our society these days, and hopefully through our justice system, we'll start to get that straightened out. I ask people all the time, please slow down as you drive. look out for our young students as they try to make their way to and from school. You know, speeding and distracted drivers remain a major traffic or major safety concern for us as a city. Our paving projects will begin soon. Again, some of them have already started as far as curb work and ramps, but MSD's Reading Road project will resume soon, and hopefully they will finish later this spring, and they have to repave from curb to curb in their construction area. Columbia Avenue from Reading Road to our border with Lachlan will start. You know, we did curb work last fall and some of the sidewalk ramps, but that should start soon. As soon as that's finished, the same company has Furman Road, and Furman Road again will be repaved immediately following Columbia Avenue. We'll give you more information on Maple Drive, Keller Avenue, and Landy Lane, which we follow, and all those projects are half grant dollars, so quite a bit of money in grants. The reminder to everyone, our park restrooms do not open until after April 1st, or when the threat of freezing temperature is passed. Our park restrooms are not insulated. They freeze easily. It's time consuming to take urinals and toilets apart and drain them. So we as a city already have portalettes at the stadium and at Caney Park, I believe. And we're hoping our schools, after the last couple years, will have them up at Hilltop Park. That's their property and their responsibility. I want to say congrats to Kelly Stickney on being named Firefighter of the Year. Kelly's an awesome young man from an incredible Reading family, so congratulations to him. Congrats to Eric Leininger on being named Police Officer of the Year. Eric's a great guy and a great addition to our police department. And our Public Works Department has two new employees, and Cole Baker and Caden Connor. We're thrilled to have both of them. Two great young men from wonderful families, and thrilled to have them.
That's great. It for me.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Bemis. Any questions? Mr. Powell.
Just a comment on the Maple Drive repair job and waterline replacement and repaving. Our street, I live on Maple, and the street is very busy during school days, so it would really be in the best interest if we could try and get the project complete before the middle of August when schools return to session.
You know, wonderful point. Dave, we push that with every project that's seen. We're close, so we will again. And again, you know, if not in years past, you know, we ask them to start after 8:15 a.m. or so, and to take a break at, you know, when school is emptying. So yeah, absolutely, we work with them. Sometimes we don't get the time slots we want, you know, weather and availability, but we will push.
Okay.
So thank you for that.
That is
thank
a huge project though, right? They're doing all the underground, the utilities.
Yeah, they're doing water line. They're upgrading the size of the water line, which, you know, as many water main breaks as we've had on the street, it's probably about new anyways.
So. Yeah.
Swiss cheese up there,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it is.
And this will be the third in the last couple of years, going from 3-inch in diameter to 8. And you know, it'll be a big advantage for future economic development. But you know something, all in all, wouldn't be stunned if Maple Drive isn't completed by the end of the year. You know, sometimes the water main things take time, but we're hoping. So we'll keep everybody posted.
Is the hope with the bigger water line also to increase chances of the Hilltop property?
Absolutely.
Hill Street extends
that way.
Absolutely.
Good.
Okay, great. Safety Service Director, Mr. Ross is not present. Does anybody have a report from him?
Yeah, I'm pretty well covered.
Okay, perfect. Ball Director, Mr. Stevenson is not present, but he does not have a report either.
No.
Treasurer's report, Mrs. Owens.
Thank you. I do have a report. I have tax collection numbers for February and year to date. We have collected a total of $600,514 in February. The breakdown is $73,859 in individual tax, $30,745 in business net profits tax, and $495,911 in payroll withholding tax. The total collected for February of 2023 was $563,747. So far in 2024, we have collected $1,534,480. The breakdown of this is $213,870 in individual tax, $103,324 in business net profits, and $1,217,286 in payroll withholding. The total collected so far to this date in 2023 was $1,383,353. As of now, we're running 10.9% ahead of 2023. And I also would just like to remind everyone that Reading income tax returns are due Monday, April 15th, and also that our electronic filing is up and running, and it's a great option for filing your return. You can find more information on our website at www.readingohio.org. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Owens. Any questions? Mr. Powell.
Question on if, you know, we're looking pretty good through the first 2 months. Are there any anomalies like we saw a couple of years ago, or is this?
The only anomaly is what I mentioned last month for January, that we had sent out all of the non-collection letters from the prior year. We normally send them out in November. We weren't allowed to do that this year until January. So that's the only anomaly, and it's certainly not anywhere near the anomaly that we had in 22.
Let's hope the trend continues.
So. Exactly, I agree.
Okay, auditor's report, Mrs. Smith.
Thanks, Mr. President. The State of Ohio 2022 and 23 audit, the staff is here from Plattenburg this week. So they've been digging in, asking a bunch of questions. We've been providing them a ton of information. They did comment they like coming here, so that's a good thing. So we try to, they schedule a week for 2022, but we try to blast them with everything for 2023 as well, so they get through items. And the reason I think it works well with the state contracts from the auditor state's office is that they send us new people every time, so they've kind of built our file and know our main stuff, but then the new people that come out are digging in different ways, so I think that helps just keep everything super transparent, even though it's the same audit firm. So because of this, every 10 years the state has the option to take the audit back and decide if they want to return it back to them, or we could go out to bid for a new auditor, which we've had many different auditors in the past. So that's the first update. We're still working on the data conversion from the old system, from the old software to the new one. But I will say that the payables are going very smooth. Everything's up and running pretty well with that. We've kind of worked through a couple of items with workflows for different departments. But we're still, December 2023, I don't have the full reconciliation done, and we are off by $13,000, but I know that it'll be found. It could be in the data conversion from all the different funds and everything that they put into the new computer system, but rest assured, like, there's no fraud or anything with that. It's just something's not matching up, or there's a double entry somewhere that was pulled over, so their team's helping us to find it, and once it's found, we can officially close December. It's pretty much, I could even just make a adjustment for it, but I said, this is only the second month that I'm closing in the system. We have to figure it out. I'm not adjusting it. So anyway, so we're still working on that. So the treasurer's office has helped with the income side for that, payroll, and also myself to help with that. So just wanted to keep everyone up to date. And then the gap statements for 2023, this is a holdup because of that. Everything's been requested that they want everything by March 15th to file by the May deadline. So that's going to be pretty tight, but we've given them a lot of the other items that they need to complete those gap statements. And this is what I call a mini audit. So it's the same audit firm, but a different staff that works on this, and they kind of prepare a file of all our general information for the year. And it gives a good look back, but another way to be super transparent. So they're kind of working on those items. Payables are running pretty smooth, as I mentioned before. We're getting items out the door a lot quicker, and then also it consolidates items for us, so that way, you know, if we think about Menards, we're a frequent flyer there. If we do 87 purchases, I can hold them all and write them all on one check. So it's not like before where I had to enter them all in at one time and then it would print on the same check. It kind of holds them all there, so I can wait a couple weeks or a month to write one check to them. So that's been very helpful. And then I just wanted to let everyone know that I received a scholarship to attend the Ohio Association of Public Treasurers. They host a finance officer training program in Sandusky every year. So this will cover, you know, my registration fee and then also my lodging. So that's about $1,700 for that training. So, and it gives me a bunch of the education courses I needed for my four-year term. So I'm just happy that they honored that. And it's a savings to the city just because I would really love to go to that if I could every year, because that's been helpful. And then also, the auditors requested your related party forms to be filled out, so we have to have 100% compliance on that. Some people have let me know that they've already returned it. Some people copied me with it. So if we could shore that up tonight of whatever you want to do, I do have some extra copies, and we'll get that figured out. Just touch base, or if you have any general questions, related party forms for the audience to know that talks about any kind of fraud, any kind of mishaps that you've seen within the past 2 years, and if you're newly elected, you still fill it out, but I would assume maybe that you wouldn't know of anything unless you did and you wanted to report that on that form. So that all gets set back and they do their investigation on that, and it's just another part to the audit. So you can give it to me and I can turn it in. Like I said, we have to have 100% compliance, or you can turn it in on your own. It doesn't matter to me. So thank you, and if you have any questions, let me know.
All right, any questions or comments? Mr. Powell.
Quick question. I know we had been, I had heard something about wanting to consolidate some funds. Has any progress been made on that?
So progress was made when we did the restructuring of the fund numbers, because the 220 fund, which is the city earnings tax, now has a one in front of it, because it's a feeder fund for the general fund. So we kept that separate, but it's still, like I said, the feeder fund for the general fund, but a one was put ahead of it. At the end of the year, you guys passed an ordinance to move, I think, about $150,000 out of a fund into another one to get it to a zero balance. But yes, progress has been made, but because maybe this year we will have $0 in some of the funds, they will still be open for the year that there's money on them, and then I can hide them and show that there's no items or no money in and out of it, but everything will be from this year going forward, if that makes sense. So we'll be having more conversations about that in the future. One of the ones that Todd from the fire chief and I kind of worked on together was the 243 fund. For communications purposes, we would move money into that and then pay out of that one, but it was just double doing work and we didn't need to do it. So now we're paying everything out of his capital fund, which is the 242 fund, automatically, and not transferring it there. The only expenditures that would come out of the 243 fund are $33, and that's for a radio communication charge, and then the charge for the county, because just like our dispatch downstairs and police, they have a process for the fire that they do too, and that gives us one quarterly bill. So we pay that every 3 months. Those were the only two charges that ever came out of the 243. So we streamlined that and it comes out of the 242. So the 243 always sat at zero except for those transfers. So we'll be able to take that off. But if, of course, the expenditure is still shown out of the 242. And then we'll be discussing more as we go. But for the conversion, because we wanted the historical data from every fund to be there, we still pulled it over, if that makes sense. So we'll be working on a lot of that this year. But we already have plans for different items.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comments? All right, on to council committee reports. Finance, Mr. Bronner.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Sabrina mentioned some of the funds that I'm going to bring up here through the course of my report. So there are four ordinances that will be read for the first time tonight that mention or relate to certain funds, of which I will give a brief description. The first ordinance is an agreement with MSD to allow Reading to continue to receive 7% of what MSD bills for sewer charges. This money goes directly into the 827 Sewer Service Fee Fund and can be used for matching funds for various grants and for projects as determined by council. The second ordinance is for purchase and installation of flock cameras, states that 340 Capital Improvement Fund will be used to purchase the equipment, and the annual service and maintenance fee will be made from the 101 General Fund. The 340 Capital Improvement Fund is fed by a portion of real estate taxes received from the county and can be used for capital improvements debt service. The 101 General Fund receives funds which are transferred from the 220 City Earnings Tax Fund and finances the general operations of the city, including wages, benefits, materials, and supplies. The third ordinance is for purchase of personal protective equipment for the fire department. This expenditure will be made from the 242 Fire EMS Capital Improvement Fund. This fund receives payments for EMS services and is used to purchase fire department equipment and trucks. And the fourth ordinance is for the purchase of police and fire department radios. This will be paid using a combination of COVID relief funds and money from the 340 Capital Improvement Fund. The COVID relief funds must be designated for expenditure this year. That's all, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Bronner? All right, moving on to utilities, lands, and buildings, Mr. Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to report that there'll be a meeting of the Utilities, Lands, and Buildings Committee on Tuesday, March 19th at 6 p.m. Actually, it's going to be in this room here, probably, before the regular council meeting. We've allocated no more than an hour. The purpose is to discuss a project the port is working on near Formica. The reason for it is part of the project is going to involve road access across a small chunk of Reading land at that section. Zach Imbus from the port will be there with his information to discuss that and give us a preliminary meeting. There is no hurry on this project, as far as I've been told. So that's all. That's
it. All right. Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Any questions or comments?
Just can you repeat the time for that? 6:30?
6 o'clock on the 19th.
Thank you.
19th. All right, zoning, planning, and environment, Mr. Powell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I continue to look into concerns that have been raised about the McCluskey CRA. I've been in communication with Dan Brooks and our law director. Ordinance 99-52 clearly designates the zoning administrator as the housing officer. I do still have some questions about other appointments that may be needed. I will continue to pursue additional information on the matter and hope to wrap this up by our next meeting.
All right, thank you. Any questions or comments? All right, laws and contract, Mrs. Edichico.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report tonight.
Okay, thank you. Public health and safety, Mrs. Kroger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our police run count for February, calls for service, we had 1,060. There were 29 auto accidents. Booking of original charges, there were 103. In total criminal charges, there were 122. Total citations were 187. And our fire department run count for February, EMS responses were 209, and our fire responses were 38, for a total of 247 responses. For the police department for the month of February, there were stolen vehicles in which the keys were left in the ignition, breaking, entering, shoplifting, stolen firearms from unsecured vehicles, and several unlocked cars gone through. Please call 911 for emergencies, and for non-emergencies, please call the county at 513-825-2280. And like the mayor said, you've got to lock your stuff up. I know people forget, but it's going to get warmer. People are going to be out more often. Even if you think you've locked your doors, go out and lock them again. And then also, I would like to extend my congratulations to Eric Kleininger for Police Officer of the Year, and to firefighter paramedic Kelly Stickney for receiving Firefighter of the Year.
Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you. Any questions or comments for Mrs. Kroger? All right. Service, Mr. Brainer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. The Public Works Department has welcomed two new members, as the mayor said. Both individuals bring their special talents to the city, and a thank you to the administration and council for getting them on board. City crews have been out patching potholes in the streets. Mulcher has been out collecting branches. City crews leveled up a plant on Rain Road for flowers. They also installed new pads of benches at Caney Park. They also transplanted two juniper trees from flower pots. They replaced the water fountains in the parks. And right now they're mapping new water mains throughout the city. some of that information has gone, has been updated many times, but it has to constantly change in some of the older sections of town. Street Troopers been out cleaning streets. Service Department has called out for two events for solid roadways. City crews replaced two catch bases on Ready Road between Landy Lane and Gall Terrace due to the construction work going on there. City crew ran a new vent pipe in a historical building. They also reseeded Bemis Field and repaired a water leak in a pit. City crews cleaned up the dead end of East North Street. Quite a bit of stuff piled up there. We have a service committee meeting the end of the month on March 26th at 7 p.m. here in council chambers to talk about the Furman Road project, specifically the rest of speed trailer info. We've had 1 week of info, possible paving dates that might know when we're going to get started. And that's about all I have. Well, I have not got the whole list of equipment that the service department is looking for this year, but I'll have, should have that by the end of the month. We may have to make some transfers out of the earnings tax into the 340 account because it's getting pretty well, 340 account's getting pretty low at this point. And I know one of the things they want is that street sweeper that they can use to go up, back up some of the smaller streets and clean out catch basin and get up leaves. Some of the smaller streets, they really can't get the street sweeper or the backhaul up there because everybody parks on the street and everything else. So, and I know that one piece of equipment alone would be $300,000. But I'll work on that before the next meeting. And that's all I have this time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Boehner. Mr. Powell?
Quick question. Yep. On that. You had mentioned the salt. We'd been out a couple of times this last month.
Yep.
With the vernal equinox being here in a couple of weeks, we should be out of, hopefully out of the worst of winter. How much salt do we still have on hand, and how much will we need to be looking at replacing?
I don't know the exact number, but I'm pretty sure we haven't used more than 500 tons of road salt. And so that means we probably got three-fourths of what we had on hand is still in sight. So, you know, we may have to look at dropping the amount we're going to need for next year. We can hold, I think it's 1,200 ton at one time now, okay, which is about what they use for the whole year. But a lot's going to depend on the weather. And, you know, quite honestly, it's better to have too much salt than not enough. We've been down that road before.
Is the new structure they put up a couple of years ago, is it performing as they had expected as
yes.
far as preserving the salt?
Yes.
Great.
And what's nice
and
about
it's
that, heaven sent. Absolutely.
What's nice about though, if something does happen up there and they need to move, that's transferable, no problem at all.
Great. But you know, for getting more for next year for storage is heaven sent, something we wanted for years and years, Dave. So yes, salt should be less of a challenge moving forward.
Sounds like we've got enough to where we could kind of keep our eye on prices as well. And if, you know, you get a low spot, you can dive in and buy some. Or
absolutely. You know, in the past, we had to rely on others to store it if they were willing, and now we're in more control. So yeah.
All right, Mr. Bishop.
Yeah, those drinking fountains are great. I know they're frost free, but I assume they're going to be turned on when the bathrooms are activated.
Right.
Probably so. But those are really a nice addition to our parks.
Any other questions or comments? All right, moving on to recreation, Mr. Tomlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to echo what has been said, but yeah, at Kinnick Park, city crew has replaced all four park benches, and both water fountains are also in the process of rebuilding the wooden steps from Kinnick Avenue down to the north end of the park. They were showing their age. We also replaced a water fountain at Hilltop Park and Voorhees Park. And we're in the process of searching for new playground equipment at Hilltop, Cherry Field, and Flaggy Parks. More to come on that. April 1st is the day for public restrooms and the water fountains. And also at the end of this month, we'll host our Easter egg hunt Saturday, March 30th at the Hafey Fieldhouse beginning at 10 o'clock.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Any questions or comments? Mr. Bainer.
I didn't catch it. Scott, maybe you mentioned it. Are we looking to replace the playground equipment at Flaggy Park?
Yes.
Okay.
Flaggy, the small structure at Hilltop, yeah, and at Cherry Field.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Other business, any new city business needs discussed? All right. Moving on to reading of resolutions, I do not believe we have any scheduled. Reading of ordinances.
Yes. The first one is a third reading, an ordinance authorizing the Safety Service Director to establish the position of part-time administrative assistant for both the police and fire departments and declaring an emergency.
Discussion.
Discussion.
I have a little bit more information, excuse me, on that. At our Public Health and Safety Committee meeting on the 21st, we discussed, there's part-time clerk for fire and then a part-time clerk for police, which I guess I didn't read it well enough to understand that, that they're two separate people. They are both retired officers coming back. As a matter of fact, the part-time for fire has currently been working. He came back after retirement and has been working as a part-time responder, but he'll now move to part-time clerk. It is a maximum of 24 hours per week. And I know for fire, they're going to do all their QAs, and my son explained to me what that is, and I don't remember. But all of their compliance stuff and a lot of the analytics, which is what he did when he was assistant chief. And then also for the police, it is a retired officer coming back, again, 24 hours per week. He's pulling body cam footage, car cam footage, doing records requests, things like that, that with the cameras that we have, it takes a bit of time to get that stuff downloaded and then uploaded into the server where they keep it. So this just, it frees up officer time. So they're both looking forward to those positions.
Okay, great, thank you. Any other questions or discussion?
I make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Okay, motion. Second. Motion by Mr. Boehner, second by Mrs. Edichico to adopt. Roll call, please.
Mr. Powell?
Yes.
Mr. Bronner?
Yes.
Mr. Bishop?
Yes.
Mr. Boehner?
Yes.
Mrs. Kroger?
Yes.
Mr. Tommen?
Yes.
Mrs. Edichico?
Yes.
Ordinance is adopted. Ordinance number, please.
2024-06. Next one is also a third reading, an ordinance authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into an agreement with Brandstetter Carroll Incorporated for engineering aquatic design services for Reading Pool and declaring emergency.
Discussion.
Mr. Thomas.
Just to recap what this is, the filtration system at the Reading Community Pool is outdated, and our city crew has done a wonderful job makeshifting parts to keep it running. This is necessary to get the proper plans for a new updated filtration system. The runtime on the filters is a couple months, so we're hoping to have the plans and permits by June 1st so that when we close the pool in September, we can get right to it.
All right, thank you. Do I have a motion to adopt, or do we need a table?
I'll make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Second.
I got Mr. Boehner motion, second by Mr. Bronner to adopt. Roll call, please.
Mr. Powell?
Yes.
Mr. Bronner?
Yes.
Mr. Bishop?
Yes.
Mr. Boehner?
Yes.
Mrs. Kroger?
Yes.
Mr. Tommen?
Yes.
Mrs. Edichico?
Yes.
Ordinance is adopted. Ordinance number, please.
2024-07. An ordinance authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into an agreement with the City of Cincinnati Metropolitan Sewer District, also known as MSD, and declaring an emergency.
Do we have any discussion?
Just a quick question. I mean, you mentioned the basics of this. As far as an emergency, is that to stop to prevent a gap in time or service?
Well, the emergency is just so it can take effect immediately. I think we have, time, but it is a renewal, so there's really nothing groundbreaking about this. But
so we just get 7% back from
Memphis. Right. It's right. The same seven. There's no change in the amount or anything. It's just a renewal of that agreement.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. No motion, so it'll be a first reading on that.
I'll motion to adopt.
I'd like to adopt.
Motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Motion to suspend the rules requiring a second and third reading.
Motion by Mr. Tommen.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Kroger to suspend the rules requiring a second and third reading. Roll call, please.
Mr. Powell.
Yes.
Mr. Bronner.
Yes.
Mr. Bishop.
Yes.
Mr. Boehner.
Yes.
Mrs. Kroger.
Yes.
Mr. Tommen.
Yes.
Mrs. Etichico.
Yes.
Motion to adopt. Sorry.
Rules are suspended. Motion by Mrs. Kroger to adopt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Bronner. Roll call, please.
You're totally getting this, by the way.
This is great.
Mr. Powell.
Yes.
Mr. Bronner.
Yes.
Mr. Bishop.
Yes.
Mr. Boehner.
Yes.
Mrs. Kroger.
Yes.
Mr. Tommen.
Yes.
And Mrs. Etichico.
Yes.
Motion is adopted. Ordinance number?
2024-08.
Sorry, I got excited.
An ordinance authorizing the safety service director to purchase and install 4 Flock camera systems and declaring an emergency.
Any discussion?
Discussion. I don't know if this is a question for Patrick or not, but I'm just curious if there's a way to have some measurables on this. It's a $15,000 expenditure for the installation, and then it's a $15,000 annually for service and maintenance. And, you know, that is something that, you know, when you spend that money, you would like to see results. So I'm just curious if there's a way to tell, you know, if we found one lawbreaker or 100, you know, whatever the amount is, basically, is this worth the expense? And if it's not after the first year, do we have to remain in the program?
Andy, that's a very appropriate question I asked today in staff meeting, and I think that we could get police chief or Patrick in 2 weeks. I don't feel totally comfortable in going through all those details quite yet.
Mr. Kroger.
Okay. I don't know all the details. I know of other jurisdictions that use them also, and their officers have said how beneficial they are, how easy it is that the way that they transmit the information, and it tells them what kind of car they're looking for, the license plate, which direction it has headed into, based on the cameras. I know, so I do know that other jurisdictions find them very helpful. So I'm kind of curious too to know like what the outcomes are, but from what I've heard, they're very beneficial.
And one metric I guess we could ask is for a report as part of their monthly report as far as the police department, maybe we could add a line in for how many times the Flock cameras were utilized as part of an investigation.
I know what's nice about them too is that once we buy into it, once we are a member, we can access any jurisdiction that has Flock cameras also. So I know like Evendale has them, Blue Ash has them, there's somebody else that borders us that has them, Amberley has them too. So those three jurisdictions, we can ping into theirs too and see. So like if we have one that we're not slated to put one there yet, but say we have one at Benson and we know that it went towards Cross County, we can then get into Amberley's and see, okay, well, did they get on Cross County or did they keep going on Ridge Road? And then if they've got one at Ridge and Galbraith, then we can see, did they turn on Galbraith or did they keep going on Ridge Road?
And to be clear, these aren't like the speed cameras that
correct.
Were very controversial.
They just read a license plate.
Yeah,
and they don't read everyone's.
Right.
But, you know, one of the questions that I ask, and I want it to be clear as well, I don't think it's going to solve some of the problems that some people think that it might. So, anyway, that needs to be gone over as well. So
it's, you know, I personally would view it as just another tool in the tool bag that
right.
they can mm-hmm. utilize. So.
Right.
I think it's too, but I think in discussion with the police chief a couple months ago, I believe, and I'm not sure this is accurate, but I believe these cameras can be moved around. They don't have to be in one location. So, you know, just because we got a problem at one area of town doesn't mean we need to leave that camera there, or, you know, maybe we can highlight an area and clean up a rough spot and then move on to another spot.
I think that's the intent.
Right.
Is where we're placing the first 4, and then if we see them as a beneficial tool, then we will either move those or we will purchase more cameras to different locations.
Thank you. Any motions or first reading?
First reading is what I thought was a good idea. Yep. Yeah.
First yeah. reading on that. Okay.
Okay. An ordinance authorizing the Safety Service Director to purchase personal protective equipment for the fire department and declaring an emergency.
Any discussion?
I just have the emergency clause is basically just for pricing, to lock in that pricing. I know the turnout gear has gone up every year, and this is something that they buy every year. It has a 10-year, I believe it's a 10-year lifespan. Yes, 10-year lifespan with the turnout gear. And so it's buying new for new ones coming in and then replacing old for outdated ones.
All right, thank you.
I'll make a motion to suspend the rule requiring a second and third reading.
Motion made by Mrs. Ochico.
Second.
Second by Mr. Boehner to suspend the rules requiring a second and third reading. Roll call, please.
Mr. Powell?
Yes.
Mr. Bronner?
Yes.
Mr. Bishop?
Yes.
Mr. Boehner?
Yes.
Mrs. Kroger?
Yes.
Mr. Tommen?
Yes.
Mrs. Ochico?
Yes.
Motion carries. Suspends the rules requiring a second, third reading. Do I have a motion to adopt?
To adopt.
Motion adopt by Mrs. Kroger, second by Mr. Bronner. Roll call, please.
Mr. Powell?
Yes.
Mr. Bronner?
Yes.
Mr. Bishop?
Yes.
Mr. Boehner?
Yes.
Mrs. Kroger?
Yes.
Mr. Tommen?
Yes.
Mrs. Ochico?
Yes.
Ordinance is adopted. Ordinance number, please.
2024-09. An ordinance authorizing the Safety Service Director to purchase portable, mobile, and central station radio equipment used by the police and fire departments and declaring emergency.
Discussion. So the emergency on this one is that we found out by accident through another municipality that Motorola, long story short, we bought radios back in 2016, 2019, somewhere in there. Motorola promised us that they were going to be good. They were good radios. They were top of the line, except for they had a service expiration date of way sooner than what we had anticipated. The end date for that service was supposed to be December of 23. Motorola has graciously extended that now through December of 24. But basically any radio that goes down is now a brick because they don't even have the parts to fix the new radios. They've also come up with a security software to upgrade those that I can't remember. Mark, did he say that he could put the
some radios can be and some radios turn into a brick.
Right.
And so he's reluctant to upgrade them all.
So anyway, the promo that we found out about through Motorola is it's $1,000 savings per radio, which is a savings to us of almost $58,000. But we have to have them ordered by March 15th. The promo is over March 15th. That's a substantial savings. Because police and fire radios are not cheap.
I'll make a motion we suspend the rules requiring second, third reading.
Got a motion by Mr. Boehner to suspend the rules requiring second, third reading. Mr. Second. Bishop, seconds. Roll call, please.
Mr. Powell?
Yes.
Mr. Bronner?
Yes.
Mr. Bishop?
Yes.
Mr. Boehner?
Yes.
Mrs. Kroger?
Yes.
Mr. Tommen?
Yes.
Mrs. Ochico?
Yes.
Suspension carries. Motion to adopt.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Boehner, second by Mrs. Kroger to adopt. Motion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Powell?
Yes.
Mr. Bronner?
Yes.
Mr. Bishop?
Yes.
Mr. Boehner?
Yes.
Mrs. Kroger?
Yes.
Mr. Tommen?
Yes.
Mrs. Ochico?
Yes.
The ordinance is adopted. Ordinance number, please.
2024-10.
All right. Miscellaneous business. Anybody has any miscellaneous? Mr. Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. President. I brought a little slideshow here and I have some comments to make. We have a we're really blessed to have a lot of good volunteers in Reading, and we have a good, great service department as well that help keep Reading clean. So I want to talk a moment to talk about trash. I was going to say I was going to talk trash about Reading, but that was not the way I wanted to phrase it. We have a major trash problem in various parts of Reading. I want to talk right now just about the area between Columbia and East North Street. It's my first slide. So here's the map. So everybody is clear. It's the between behind the laundromat over to North Street where the apartments are, and you can see East Pleasant Street come down at the top. Residents along that stretch of tracks on both sides are throwing trash off in full bags, tires, mattresses, pallets, even old toys over the tops of the fences, leaving them lodged in the trees and scattered on the hillside instead of using the provided dumpsters. Since most of the debris is at the top of the hill, I don't think people are carrying it up the hill to dump it. The hillside has become the trash dump for a few residents of the apartments who refuse to walk their trash to the dumpsters, and this is unacceptable. In parts of the area, some of this appears to be from transient people leaving behind a trail of garbage. I want to emphasize this is likely only a few residents and business patrons who are creating this mess, not only there but around the bar and laundromat as well. It's not everyone. This is the hillside that I'm referring to at the end toward North Street. And if you look right above the blue dumpster in the middle, you can see on the other side of the fence there's a pile of mattresses. And if you notice on the top of the photograph, this is a photograph that Mr. Powell pulled up from 11:30. So those have been there since November 30th. And there's new stuff around them. There was trash everywhere, but those have been there for a long time, and so just to get a perspective on that, because I'll show another picture of that later. This is part of the hillside trash. Yard debris, which would normally not be a problem and compost in an area like this, is dumped over the fence, burying the trash, making cleanup even more difficult, and effectively turning the area into a landfill. I understand that some of the tree limbs may be the result of Duke Energy trimming trees around the power lines on the hillside too. Combined that with a honeysuckle, this area was a mess and very difficult to clean up. I even saw what looks like chopped leaf piles dumped from a lawn tractor alongside the ballast of the tracks. This is just another picture. So this picture, I want you to look at this. This is how dense the trash was all the way from where those mattresses are, all the way to the end of the privacy fence by the apartment complex. And then it was as dense as it was before the other picture, like that most of the other way down. So it's pretty bad. It's not a nice sight. I met the Ormans on Saturday as they were cleaning up that area, and helped them for the rest of the day. And they came back Sunday to finish up a small spot. But they had just cleaned up the entire area from Columbia at the bar to the sign company's parking lot. And they were working near North Street in the brush when I came to help. Maybe only 15 minutes after Pat and Tracy had cleaned up that stretch of land, someone tossed these four bags of beer bottles and lottery tickets over the privacy fence behind number 7 Pleasant Street. We didn't see them. They were beyond the brick wall there, over the privacy fence. Tossed them over the privacy fence onto the ground at the dead end of the street. This is the pile of trash, and I have the aerial shot as well. Is it the next one? This one. Okay. So this shows you, this is not the aerial shot of that pile of trash, but when Mr. Powell pulled this up, he showed me that that's the arrow points to the location of where those bags were found. If you look down below that those bags and you zoom in on it, you're going to see more trash bags back in November, and you're going to see also a couch laying over there alongside the railroad tracks. I didn't know that until he pointed that out on the pictures, but that's important to know. So this is an ongoing issue. So that's the bags of trash, and that's the aerial of the area. I've spoken to Rick Martin, and he followed up with the owner and manager of the complex on East North Street regarding the trash and mattresses, and they promised to get the mattresses cleaned up. Now, they also, when they evict people, other stuff goes out, so I think the cleanup people maybe miss the ones over the side of the fence. We're going to make sure they take care of those. We did, while we were there cleaning the hillside, these are the mattresses, the pile that's been there since November. While we were cleaning the hillside, I met someone who identified himself as the maintenance manager for the apartments. He does cover a number of properties, but he assured me the mattresses will be cleaned up this week. The company has made a lot of improvements to the property. They got new boilers. They've done a lot of improvements. So I'm optimistic, but I'm sure it's an uphill battle for them as well. People described how while they're in the parking lot, people would walk down from the upper buildings and just pitch things over the fence. And we were pulling literally trash bags out of the trees that were hung up because they're handle tie bags and they rip and they're all over the place. Plus there was trash buried up to almost 2 feet deep, 3 feet deep on the hillside under the leaves and stuff that were thrown on top of them. And we dug all of that out. According to him, though, the maintenance manager, they are emptying their dumpster 3 times a week, which is a question I had. And according to the experts, that should be adequate. It was about half full on Saturday. Anecdotally, while we were there, and this is kind of interesting, you scratch your head over this one. While we were there, an employee of one of our Reading fast food eateries drove into the apartment complex in front of us and disposed of boxes from the restaurant in the dumpster of the apartments and then drove off. They have their own dumpster, and I suspect they don't live at the apartments either because they didn't come back, they just left. I may be wrong, but that's what we saw. So we were scratching our heads over that one, trying to figure out what was going on. But the hillside's now about as clean as it can be without using a backhoe. The trash was pretty deep except for the mattresses and pallets. It's generally cleaned up now. I'm expecting those to be gone shortly. This is a picture of the hillside afterward. And keep in mind that when I showed you the density of the trash, that's what that hillside looked like from one side to the other. This is a pic after the cleanup. Here's a picture of some of the trash and tires and car parts removed from this small stretch of land on Saturday and Sunday, mostly from behind the apartment complex on North Street. More was added to this pile on Sunday. So there was about maybe a 10 by 15 area or 20 by 20 area that was really hard to get to, that was really deep. And that's what the Ormans cleaned up Sunday. And so there was probably, I'm guessing there's probably a total of about 20 big bags of trash, those drum liners, and 2 big bags of recycling, a bunch of lumber. There's 6 tires, I think, and other boxes and things of that sort that ended up as part of that. I want to thank Darrell and his guys for hauling all of this way Monday. They keep up with the Ormans pretty well. But the area behind the bar and laundromat and the stretch of tracks from there all the way to North Street is one of the worst areas I've seen in Reading, and it's been an ongoing issue. I want to emphasize that even though volunteers clean this area nearly every week, and that's important to know, each year on the official Reading cleanup day, about 6 to 8 volunteers, and I've been one of them, have shown up and cleaned just that stretch on the Reading cleanup day, and we still fill about 8 or 10 drum-sized bags of trash, plus the usual tires, furniture, things of that sort. So, as residents of this community, though, we need to be better than this. Please dispose of your trash properly. If you see trash in the front of your home, pick it up. Don't let it blow around. If you own a business in Reading, please take the time to pick up the area around your business, as many of you already do. Most of Reading is fairly clean. I'm very, very proud of that. If you have rental properties, please do your part to keep our city clean. Keep your dumpsters empty as needed and clean up around them. You're ultimately responsible for your residents' trash. City personnel don't have the time to pick up your trash, and we may not always have volunteers willing to do it or able to do it. So if you use a red bin for recycling, that's a big issue for blowing trash, as we saw this week on Wednesday when the wind picked up. Call customer service at Rumpke at 800-828-8171 and request a green recycling card at no cost. It better protects against windy conditions that scatter trash. Also, make sure the dumpster doors are shut if you're in an apartment complex or a business. You can make sure you secure the lids and make sure that the bins are protected from rodents and raccoons especially. They will scatter trash around, as I know very well. Bagging your trash that you place in your can also helps minimize blowing trash when the driver dumps the cans in the trash truck or if the wind blows them over. Don't bag your recycling, though. They don't like that. But as far as the trash goes, you can bag it.
The once-a-year cleanup we do as a city is just not enough unless we stop this from happening. We're blessed to have so many local volunteers and residents who help keep the city clean, including a number of youth now who are helping with the Walk with a Purpose mission. I can't thank you enough for your efforts, and I'm certain everyone here thanks you as well.
Great report.
Thank you, Mark.
Any questions?
One question. Did anybody contact the that fast food restaurant or the general manager to see why they would be doing that?
No. We have pictures though, so.
Yeah, be interested to find out.
I've got a question. How did the railroad tracks work into that equation? Because technically that's not Reading property. Is that right? That's a federal
25 feet from the center both ways is
not that it excuses any trash that's right. thrown in that direction, and but I'm just curious, do the railroads do any policing of their
no. They've been a challenge
yeah
to
yeah.
get involved.
They leave their own debris right. when they replace ties, and they replace the ties they pick up a lot of times, but when they replace the spikes, they leave those littered along the tracks wherever they do. These tracks are not in that great a shape. So a lot of the ties are bad. They probably will be going through there some point in time and fixing those. Most of the trash, though, the trash doesn't really land on the tracks all that much, aside from some different times of the year, alcohol bottles, things of that sort. Most of it ends up in the woods or right. along the tree line. The honeysuckle is a big issue along there, and I don't know if we have any ability to help mitigate that. But it is an invasive species, and it is really a problem, and it locks all the trash in. So it's, and it also provides cover for people sleeping in the woods. So but on that hillside, especially behind the complex, one of the problems we had is you had people throwing bags, whipping them over the fence, hanging them in trees, and the honeysuckle's really deep, along with all the branches and stuff thrown on top. So it makes it very difficult to clean up the hillside. There's plenty of trees to leave trees and get rid of the honeysuckle if we could figure out how to do that. Maybe that's talking to the property owner and working it out with them and have them do it, or if they get permission to have volunteers do it. But I think something has to be done in this area. And I know there's other areas of Reading where there's been trash dumped occasionally and sometimes on a regular basis. I think we just need to focus on those for a little while and periodically, and let's try to get it cleaned up and make sure it stays cleaned up.
And I did secure the railroad valuation map for that particular area that kind of shows what the railroad, at least what they think they own there. And, you know, kind of judging by that and looking at it, a lot like the hillside, I feel would be on the apartment property, not the... because really the distance off the tracks on that side is not all that much. So, you know, I think the trash is mainly on the apartment. But, you know, technically it's all private property because, you know, it's either railroad owned or apartment owned there. So
I didn't notice on the Pleasant Street apartments at the end. I think they're Airbnbs possibly sometimes. Some of them might be. I didn't notice if they had a dumpster back there. But this seems to be an ongoing problem of even couches being thrown over the fence there. They have a new fence, but...
I think their dumpster, at least it had been kind of at the what I call the dead end of East Pleasant there, at the dead end of it. But actually, technically, if you look at the old maps and stuff, Pleasant Street actually continues on. It does, so...
They apparently think it still does for trash.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, because it's kind of a dead-end street like that, and I wonder if maybe not necessarily the apartment owners, but I think other people may be going up to that privacy fence that crosses the right-of-way, basically, mm-hmm. there, and people are kind of using it as a communal dump, you know, going up to the yeah. end of it and, you know, backing up to the fence and chucking their stuff over the fence.
So these bags that were thrown while we were there were actually thrown from the Columbia side of the white building, of the okay. last white building, between those other buildings. So
gotcha.
You had to go around the building to get to that fence, the new brand new privacy fence along there, and they were thrown over while we were standing there. So
yeah,
I was very disheartened to see that.
I actually follow a YouTube channel of a gentleman up in Brightmoor neighborhood of Detroit, and they have a large problem with dumping in his neighborhood, and he does something known as return to sender. So if somebody goes and they can track down an address or something from the trash, they'll pick it all up, load it in a truck, and take it back to the person and dump it in their yard.
I had another comment too. Do you think it would help? I mean, as much flack as Rumpke does get at times around town, they're a great asset or a resource to the city. You say there's couches, there's mattresses. If those are properly wrapped in plastic and set on a curb, sometimes it just takes a phone call and they come get them. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be much easier to wrap a couch and set it on your curb than it would to load it in a truck, drive it to a semi-secluded location, and drop it next to some tracks. Or
in this case, they're just throwing it over from the complex.
From the fence.
Yeah, just throwing it over the fence.
So it is easier.
Right, it is easier. yeah, it's much
unfortunately,
easier.
Unfortunately.
Is it the property owner, do you think, is throwing like the couches and
no,
the mattresses?
I think it's the residents.
Residents, yeah. Okay.
Now, the property was, I think, sold not too long ago. There's a new property manager or a new owner out of Louisville and Cincinnati. So, it could be that the old owner might have done this before he left. I don't really know. All I know is those things were there before November, and the hillside was a mess. So now some of the hillside, there was somebody actually staying up there on the hillside behind the brush, because I found a blanket that's buried under. It was buried under the all of the muck from there. But it'd be nice to have the honeysuckle out of there to be able to actually. It'd be easier to clean. You clean it with blower then. You could literally blow it down to the bottom and rake it up. But we found a lot of tons of Gatorade bottles, and not to pick on them, but Gatorade bottles, liquor bottles, just general household trash, milk cartons, toys, everything, you name it.
There was a homeless camp up there for a while too, so that may be where some of it came.
There's actually one behind the park complex periodically.
Okay.
And they've called the police on them, and taken care of. The police have been helping with that, so.
Is the honeysuckle?
But it would be, very helpful for us here if people could catch people in the act, call the police immediately, and identify. Because one of the things, we got a call here not too long ago that some of the items turned over this fence had people's names on them. Mm-hmm. For us then, what if somebody else reached into the garbage can if the person properly disposed and then threw it over? How do you then find that person if somebody, again, takes something out of your garbage can, dumps it on the street? So it's helpful for us to have people step up, identify people, call when they see it. And, in many of my reports, vandalism and littering both are just senseless, wastes of money, for all and time. For all of us, and yet, like you said, sometimes people go more out of their way to litter than they could get rid of it legally. And so anyway, it's a frustration, but again, it's something we have to catch people in the act, which makes it more difficult for us.
Mrs. Kroger.
Rumpke's guilty of that too. Seth has called us and said, hey, we have such and such mail up here at Hilltop. I guess it blew out of the Rumpke truck.
the original recycling truck they used, I had people's taxes all the way up and down Thorn Ridge one time. They switched to the regular hopper truck, which helped a lot, and they can dump it periodically or suck it in. But but it is an ongoing issue. If you see your neighbors throw a bag over the fence or somebody, say something to them. You can call the cops, but if you want to be a nice neighbor, just stop them. If you see somebody throw something out the window, stop them. If kids are walking along the street and they throw a pop bottle in the woods, say something. And we can help slow this down.
We do have fines for littering, so
And again, it's catching, and that's what's the valuable part.
I think in some cases signs might help. They're not going to stop it, but it can't hurt.
Yeah.
I think if we had some signs prepared at different places to.
Is the honeysuckle something that city crews could get in there and remove, or if it's on private property?
It's all private property.
It's all private property. It's very, very, very difficult to kill honeysuckle.
Well, yeah, I know that, but.
But exactly, we can.
It's an ongoing effort to do it. It's something the Boy Scouts do a lot of. They remove honeysuckle at camps and stuff. You have to do it every year. It's really hard.
Now, the flip side, I get complained from a wonderful Reading business where our service department on Barrett removed honeysuckle, and for years it had protected their property. And so now, with the honeysuckles gone, thieves were walking in, taking valuable metals from this wonderful company, and the guy complained about us taking the honeysuckle out. So anyway.
So we need to plant some appropriate vegetation.
Yeah, it's
with thorns.
You said that one.
You know, if we maybe one or two of these people get caught throwing the trash bags, one of their sentence might be they have to clean that up for the next month or two.
That's happened here in town. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the Ormonds have cleaned this up numerous times. I mean, numerous times. I know they filled a truck one time. City truck was full. It took four. He had two other people helping him. Just the number of trash bags was phenomenal. But
and the other thing, you know, that people need to know, we found out last couple years there was a Reading resident parking his trucks and construction vehicles, you know, on railroad property. You know, it's not only their private property, they do not have to mark it as private property to enforce. So again, they just simply don't. In this area, we got them to put up a fence, but people were using it actually for a dump and for storage of construction equipment. But you know, we have another famous Reading resident. He keeps dumping illegally, and it's against the law, and he's been warned and warned, but we have to catch him in the act. It's another one where so many times criminals are protected far more than
any other miscellaneous business.
Motion adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Boehner, second by Mrs. Kroger to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We are adjourned.